Welcome everyone to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, and thank you so much for joining us again this week for the show. We're going to look at veterans services, and there's so much more to it than that, and I'm not even going to try to give you too much of what we're going to get into. But on the way to the studio now and sitting across from me very shortly will be John Kilpatrick. I spent some time with him this week, or a couple weeks ago rather, and I've been looking forward to this week to getting him in the studio. He's doing some remarkable things to the benefit of veterans. And it was in talking to him that I began to realize how little I know about the turmoil that the veterans come through, that they battle through on the other side of their commitment. And John, I have two, three pages full of notes from our conversation in advance of this conversation. And what I think you're going to get out of this show, folks, is what we seldom do, but we create an extended show. So for those of you listening on the radio, find the podcast of this, because we're going to go deep after the radio show is over. We will continue. John and I will continue to talk, because I think there's some content in this dialogue here that we all need to know about. I am naive to it, is the best word. And John pointed me to some things. In other words, the veterans come home and they have some challenges that only other veterans can understand. Only other veterans can begin to help them solve. And John has found a way to begin doing that in a systematized way in advance of many organizations across the country. He'll tell you a little bit about his story. You're going to be impressed with this guy and proud to know that there's somebody out there doing that. Well, I've neglected to even introduce the show. Welcome to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. As you can tell, I'm very excited about this show. We got the introduction, this first little segment of the show, completely out of order. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is the show designed to bring you workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends, trying to make you a little bit better at whatever it is that you're doing by listening to the guests and hopefully adopting some of their ideas that you can bring on to your own workplace. This is likely a workforce and a marketplace trends show as we talk about some of the veterans and their challenges that John is going to explain to us as we go along. Again, you're going to want to hang around for this one. Hopefully you hang around for all of them, but you're going to want to hang around for this one because there's so much going on in here. So let me jump ahead, though. As we try to promote an upcoming show, and we're doing something very different, we're going to have kind of a book report, a book review. There are going to be two executives. One of them is an executive coach. One of them is an executive that have both mentioned to me the power of a book that stays on their desk that I hadn't heard of. And we've reached out to the author, and he's going to be a part of the show too. The book is called The Author Versus Editor Dilemma. The subtitle reads, The Leadership Secret to Unlocking Your Team, Your Time, and Your Talent. This book is available on Amazon.com. The author is Brandon Smith, and he's going to be with us on the show to talk about what it is he writes about in this book. And we're going to have this executive coach and this executive here talking about how this book has become so valuable for them. And the four of us are going to be on the show together talking about the lessons learned from this book. If you want to join in with us, get a copy of the book, read it, make some notes, email me some questions you may have of the author and how they're using this content, and we'll take this business book, this business leadership and efficacy book, and apply it to ourselves as we go through the show. This is something new that we've done. I'm looking forward to it. The broadcast will be somewhere mid-June, probably the 20th, 21st, something like that, as we get the show together and put it out there. If you have any questions for me or for the author, email them to me and we will discuss them on the show that week. When we come back, we'll have John Kilpatrick. It's going to be a remarkable story on his service to the veterans and the challenges that they face that you and I are likely not aware of and what he's doing to resolve those. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be right back.
The This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Matthews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymatthews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Sitting across from me is Colonel John Kilpatrick. He is a licensed graduate social worker and the founder and chief executive officer of Vets Recover here in Mobile, Alabama. His expertise is how to serve the vets in our community. And as you can tell by his title and the fact that he's a colonel, he is one himself. In the time that he and I spent together not long ago, I learned how unique the veteran experience is and how I, not being a veteran with any military background, try as hard as I might, will never truly understand. And that's what piqued my interest. Colonel Kilpatrick, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thanks, Cam. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm happy you're here, too. We got a lot of meat on the bone to discuss in this show. Let's begin by learning a little bit about your background, where you're from, what got you into the military, a little bit about your service. There are certainly some veterans out there that would be interested in who you are in that regard.
For sure. So I grew up in Mobile, Alabama, born and raised here. You know, I think I shared this with you before. I was very likely an alcoholic by about age 13. So by 17, I was graduated high school and wanted to get as far away from where I was as possible. And so I joined the Marine Corps. And so 2 days after high school graduation, I went to Paris Island and actually detoxed on the bus to Paris Island. That's a pretty fun experience. And, you know, I think I found a lot of what I was looking for there. A lot of meaning, purpose, structure, discipline, those sorts of things. From there, I did 10 years in the Marine Reserves as an intelligence analyst. After Desert Storm, struggled like a lot of combat veterans do. Finally got sober, 1996. Later, I graduated from Spring Hill College, 94. Not quite sure how I did that, the way I drank, but I made it through. And then 97, I guess I went back into the Army National Guard, went to OCS, got my commission as a Medical Service Corps officer, and transferred to the reserves in 03, and have since done about 4 deployments and an 18-month tour at the Pentagon, working for the Surgeon General of the Army. So my specialty in the Army is healthcare operations. And then after my 2015-16 deployment, we started Vets Recover, and I went back to school and got my master's degree in social work from the University of Alabama.
What made you start Vets Recover? Where did that come from?
Very simple. So if your listeners are familiar with any 12-step group or 12-step approach to solving a problem, the key is that you help the next person. And so in my 12-step work, just me getting sober, trying to help the next veteran, next guy get sober, just nowhere to go for treatment. And so we really thought it was a capacity problem, and we just needed to find more treatment facilities. And so that's what we set out to build, was a treatment facility for veterans, mainly to get folks off the street, you know, get them out of legal trouble where, you know, they didn't really need to be in jail. They needed treatment. And so, you know, I think I shared with you when I came in, I just spoke at the Rotary Club here. And I remember telling them in November of 2017 that we were going to build this thing. We were going to create this program. And I really thought in my heart it would take us 6 months to do it because the need was so great. And we just needed another treatment facility. And little did I know, you know, the whole system was a barrier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of our conversation in advance of this show was learning about the barriers that you face. Let's take one step back real quick and talk about Vets Recover. There may be a listener out there saying, man, there are treatment centers up and down the road. Every hospital, every community has treatment center. Why did we need another one?
Well, I think you alluded to it something in the beginning. There's something very unique about veterans, and it's unique to veterans. But I think every special population kind of, you know, it's just human nature. If you've not experienced what I've experienced, you're going to have a difficult time relating to me.
Yeah.
And so if you're here to help me solve a problem that you've never experienced yourself, it's going to be very difficult, not undoable. But it just takes a lot of work to get to a baseline. But when I can talk to another combat veteran, you know, that's a very unique experience. You know, at any given time, you got about 1% of the population serving in the military. Even fewer of them have a combat experience. So you got a very unique experience. And like most people, when we have a unique experience, we think no one else could possibly understand it mm-hmm. without having experienced it. There's some truth to that, but there's also just a barrier. And so when I can talk to another veteran who's struggling with addiction, who has also had combat, you know, that's the mechanism we use to stay in the problem. You don't understand. You couldn't possibly understand. And if I'm talking to you, I say, oh, yeah, I can. I've been there.
Yeah.
I was right where you are. And then they look at me and see I'm on the other side, and there's immediate hope.
So is there a – real quick, you related to me the data on veterans' addiction rates versus non-veterans, as well as on veterans' suicide rates versus non-veteran. Would you share that with us?
So we actually did a study. It was a veterans needs assessment down here in South Alabama. And it's, you know, there's been similar ones across the country. 64,000 veterans here in our area, and 32,000 of them, half of them said they had a problem with a mental health issue or addiction.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
That's high.
And then, you know, the suicide rates, we hear them all the time. They've been thrown around. We know they're not accurately reported, but what is reported is it's ridiculous. You know, 22 veterans a day, I think, is still the number we're using. I think it's going down a little bit. But in Alabama, you know, we've got almost 400,000 veterans here, and we account for most of the suicides. You talk about, you know, death by overdose, opioid overdose. Last year, we had 1,250 overdose deaths. That's a 500% increase over the last 6 years.
1,250 opioid deaths in the veteran population in the state of Alabama.
No, 1,250 total.
Okay.
But veterans are 20% of those.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're only 9% of the population.
I see. So it goes back to ability to relate. This is such a unique population, such a small percent of the population can relate due to the lack of military experience. And like you said, even fewer with combat experience. It begs the need for there needs to be a special treatment for these people. They've given so much. And that's what Vets Recover is.
It is. And you know, I can't say that the treatment is special. What's special is this cultural competency and a unique understanding of the veteran experience. And so what that means is even our non-veteran providers, they understand military cultural competency. They know how to speak to a veteran. They know the difference between a sailor and a Marine mm-hmm. or a Marine and a soldier. Because, you know, we veterans, we're very hard-headed. We're very stubborn. And we're also very proud, which is dangerous. But if I'm a Marine and you call me a soldier, that's offensive.
And it immediately tells the Marine that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which discredits you, even though you might be a world-renowned psychologist.
Right, right, right.
But I'm not listening to you because you don't understand me.
Right.
And so, you know, in mental health care, you know, any good mental health provider will tell you that it takes time to build rapport with a client.
Yeah.
And you can't do that if you come at it with a complete misunderstanding of the baseline.
I'm sitting across from Colonel John Kilpatrick. He runs Vet Recover here in Mobile. He's sharing some data unique to Alabama, but I think we can assume that much of this challenge is nationwide. And we'll pick this up when we get back from break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Eastet. I perfected my bacon recipe behind my live music stage at my little restaurant in Fairhope, Alabama. We have custom-made smokers and small-batch bacon made just for you. So if you're looking for the best bacon in America that has been cured, smoked, and even serenaded by songwriters, you definitely need to try Billy's Small Batch Bacon. www.billysbacon.com.
John Kilpatrick sits across from me in the What's Working studio. We're talking about the unique challenges that veterans have and the unique solutions that must be provided to them due to their unique challenges. It's something that I, try as I might, will never understand. Vets Recover has had a remarkable success here in South Alabama due to John's success, and he has, in fact, John, this is in my notes here, he has figured it out. What have you figured out?
Well, I don't know that I personally figured it out, although certainly led it. But what we figured out is that when you can combine a veteran who has experienced trauma and who has found recovery, you combine that with world-class doctors and mental health providers, and they approach the veteran with addiction or a mental health issue together, it's magic. So what we know is that veterans don't like to ask for help, so they're going to wait or they're going to postpone it. They're going to try to do it on their own, and they're going to hit rock bottom before they ask for help. So when they do it, when they ask for help, they need it right now. They needed it 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when they get to a typical treatment, it starts out with trying to understand where you are. And so when we inject that veteran peer with a recovery experience into the treatment team, we know exactly where that person is. We start 6 months ahead. We don't have to go back and build it because we've got somebody who's already lived it. The other thing it does is it gives that veteran who's in our treatment program daily access to somebody who's been where they are. That provides a lot of comfort, almost like a care navigator. You know, I can say, Cam, I know you don't trust it, but Dr. So-and-so knows what he's talking about. It worked for me. Just do what he says.
So the veteran, the care navigator is not providing the care. The care navigator is building trust into the system for the veteran in need.
They're trust brokers.
Yeah, trust brokers. And are these, we'll call them a care navigator, are they only reacting to the veterans who call in and say, I need help, or show up or do I say I need help? Because if it's the stereotype of the veteran to not admit that they need help, then they're out here amongst us everywhere, potentially, needing help, but refusing to ask for it. So how is the care navigator finding these people?
So there's a number of things. So one, yes, when they call, that's what they get. But we're also, you know, through our community integration program, we're out in the community telling our stories. You know, I speak regularly. A lot of our peers speak regularly. So family members and veterans and others who are struggling in the community, they're hearing our stories of recovery they're going to get it whether they're looking for it or not. And so somebody is going to hear us speaking and say, you know what, Uncle Joe or my friend or my brother is struggling with the same thing. He needs to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And then all they have to do is call, and then we will help them ask for help.
You will help them ask for help. Teach them this is what this process looks like.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have a saying that we float out a lot in our peer group. Take the help.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, when you're in addiction or you're in the throes of some sort of mental health crisis, you don't believe there's any way out. You're stuck. And so the idea of asking for help seems fruitless. Nobody will understand. Nobody's ever done this. You think you're unique. You know, it's just, we call it terminal uniqueness. We're so special, nobody could possibly understand.
Right.
And so when I tell my story of addiction and trauma and combat and recovery, somebody goes, oh, wait, well, if that knucklehead can do it, maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
And so it's through those stories of recovery. And we, you know, we are a recovery organization. So everything we do is leading towards recovery. And so when folks know that there's a way out and that somebody else has gone through exactly what they experienced and found a way out, man, that's powerful.
I hesitate to ask this. What's the success rate? Once you find somebody vulnerable to this change, who's been given the confidence that this peer veteran's advice is trustworthy, what is the success rate after that?
So we see, that's a very tough question. So it's a really hard question to answer. There's a lots of different measures of success. We know that if someone is still attending therapy or they're coming back for aftercare and follow-up within a year or, you know, at a year, they've got a really high chance of long-term recovery. And we see, you know, over 90% of the folks that stick with our program through that time, you know, we see them years to come.
Oh, wow.
And so we've got folks, you know, in fact, the first veteran we ever helped, you met him when you were there, works with us.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the model is we get these folks who are unemployed, unemployable, you know, dealing with mental illness, addiction. We get them well and get them employed, you know, wherever it is. And we do it all the time. And so if folks, you know, it's like the 12-step program, it's anonymous. So nobody's got good data. But I know, you know, I've worked with hundreds of guys in a 12-step program. If they work the program, it's 100%.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, less than 10% actually do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got a lot better rate than that. It's, you know, we find that most people, once they get to the point of asking for help, they're ready to receive. And if they come to us ready to receive, it's almost 100%.
You got, and that's your cue. Once you've asked and once you're ready, that's your cue to step in and get started on this thing. But the character of a veteran, of any service member, is tough, don't need help, not soft. These are typically stereotypical soft things that are that people, I'm not soft, I don't need help, etc. You're telling me that once they get there, I'm trying to organize my thoughts here. Once they get there, they can need help. But you also told me in our conversation that many of the veterans, and they're shaped by trauma. I wrote this down. The veterans are shaped by trauma, and often that trauma begins before the military, such that early trauma leads them into the military. And it would seem like it's almost, the trauma has created this individual regardless of their military experience. Is this making any sense to you, this question?
Yeah, it's complicated. That's certainly my experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been in recovery for, you know, 28 years, and it wasn't until, you know, recently, like 20 years into this thing, that I get to kind of some of the root of my childhood trauma. And, you know, we find that the more we stay, the longer we stay, the deeper we have to dig. And trauma is like a big giant black hole. And you walk up to the edge and you look down in it and you can say, yep, I see you. and I'm not ready today, I'll come back.
Oh.
It never goes away.
Yeah.
And so I'm not cured. I'm kind of in remission, I guess. But there will come a day where it comes back and I'm going to have to go do some more work about it. So it's a lifelong journey and process of dealing with it. It's just like addiction. I'm not cured. You know, I'm in remission, and I know that what I have to do to stay sober, I know what I have to do to maintain my mental health. And so, you know, there's always work to do, but it's work worth doing. And I've got a team of folks and a community of people that help me do the work.
Can someone go to these veterans and say, I think you need to go talk to John? Does that ever work? Or does that veteran, him or herself, have to have the need themselves? And what I want to get into, and perhaps this is something we should get to after break, because we're coming up into break as we speak here. What about the families? What about the spouse and the children and things like that? Can they look at their mother or father and say, I heard this show and I think you need some help? Has that ever proven successful?
Yes and no. Much longer answer after the break.
You're working with me, man. I appreciate it. You're listening to What's Working. I'm sitting across from John Kilpatrick. He's with Vets Recover. We'll be right back.
This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group. If you are an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Mathews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit, with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymathews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group. Member FINRA, SIPC.
I'm holding John Kilpatrick's card in my hand. His company's called Vets Recover, Transforming the Culture of Care. John is a colonel in his background, and today he's opened himself to the recovery of veterans, and it's truly an inspirational story. Before the break, John, if let's say my spouse were a vet and I can hear you describing her in our conversation right now, and I were to go to her and say, you need to seek some help and I think I have a place for you, is there any proven record of success in me trying to refer a spouse to you?
There is, but it's tricky. So I think I told you just during the break that, you know, the majority of calls that we get for help are not from the veteran or the person who we think needs help. It's from the family. It's the wife. It's the husband. It's the sister, brother, cousin, friend, employer. Hey, I got this veteran. He's in big trouble. Can you help him? And the answer is always, we can certainly help him if he comes. And then we flip it. But what about you?
Oh, interesting. We didn't talk about this.
So if you look at our mission, we remove barriers to care for veterans, first responders, and their families. That's a key point. Addiction, trauma, it is a family issue. So if I'm the veteran and I've got trauma, it has affected my children. It's affected my wife. It's affected my job. It's same thing with addiction. It's a family problem, and it requires a family solution. And so what we know is oftentimes the person who's addicted is not often willing to come in the beginning. But if we can get that family member in and get them some coping skills, teach them about why this person's acting that way and how they can detach with love and how they can, take care of themselves. 6 weeks, It's like clockwork. That addict alcoholic is going to get so miserable at home that they're going to come.
No kidding.
God, help me. Help me.
So you give what you've called coping skills to the spouse, and those coping skills are ultimately going to drive the addict, the first responder, the veteran, to you.
Almost like clockwork.
They might be coping skills, but they're also prodding skills.
They are. And it's, you know, I always go back to the 12-step tradition because that's how I got sober. But, you know, the textbook for Alcoholics Anonymous is the same textbook used for Al-Anon, which is the program for families of alcoholics.
Uh-huh.
The solution is the same.
Yeah. So living in that addict living in close proximity to this person who's gone through the solution ultimately makes them pick up the phone and say, I can't stand this person anymore. I've got a problem.
You got it.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Did
you expect that? That's just surprising to me, but it sounds somewhat understood and common.
Those in recovery know that.
Yeah.
We know it. Most of us got to recovery, myself included, you know, because my wife said, I'm not going to live like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she had enough recovery to tell me that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you don't know and you've lived in the cycle of addiction for generations, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, you just think this person's difficult or they're just being a jerk or they're, you know, whatever. But, you know, and you don't know how to detach. You know, you've got some codependency, or maybe you've got, you know, maybe you're addicted to the chaos. I'm certainly addicted to chaos. And so that's what we find, you know, a lot of the mental health issues of family members who are living in trauma, you know, someone else's, or living in someone else's addiction, you know, there's all sorts of other issues that they deal with. And so it's vitally important that we care for the family as well.
One of the components of Vets Recover is that you remove barriers to care. Give me a sense of what the barriers to care are that may surprise me as an outsider looking in.
So, great example. You're a homeless veteran and you're trying to get help and you're eligible for VA healthcare. If you can't get a ride to your appointments and you miss 3 appointments, they disenroll you.
Mm.
So over the years, you know, we've probably served 300 or 400 homeless veterans since we've been open. And I love to get to root cause. I'm a root cause analysis guy. And so I just like to talk to them and try to figure out, how did you get here? And 99 out of 100, it was a 50-cent problem.
I love that expression. It's a simple problem that, and so you pick them up and bring them. Very simple.
That's it.
Or you call them a cab, call them an Uber, something like that.
Yeah. So what we know about treatment and success in especially mental health care is if you don't make your appointment, you're going to have a hard time recovering.
Uh-huh.
And so when we talk about removing barriers to care, you know, we're going to call you 48 hours before your appointment. Hey, Cam, you got an appointment tomorrow. You're going to be able to make it. Nah, man, my car's broke down. Would you like us to come get you? No, I got so-and-so. I really just need to stay home. Well, what if we did telehealth? Well, I don't have a computer. Well, what if we bring an iPad?
No.
Well,
kidding.
I don't have internet connection. Well, what if we just come to you?
That's remarkable. I mean, the commitment you're showing to helping this individual is touching, really is. And at some point, this poor veteran just has to say, okay, okay,
Or not. And it's not, you know, we can't force somebody into recovery. We can't make them take the help.
Uh-huh.
But we want to make sure that we've removed all the barriers that we can. And, you know, everybody gets a choice in their care. Everybody gets to decide what they're going to do. But we just want to make it as easy as possible to get to the solution.
Is there anybody out there opposed to what you're doing? Every government dollar seems to have, and I assume you get funding from government some way or another, seems to have somebody saying, no, this dollar would be better spent elsewhere. What's the opposition to your effort?
You know, I don't know. Certainly nobody is fighting us in the open.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, we've got a very unique approach to care. We've solved problems that folks have kind of deemed unsolvable. And I know that there is a lot of money in the search. And so there's a lot of folks who profit from searching for solutions. And, just look at our system. We call it healthcare. It's not healthcare. It's sick care. We want to make money by helping you manage your disease.
You're speaking directly to my soul as a guy who spent 4 months trying to find a doctor that can help me. Tests must be lucrative.
There is no money in healthy people.
That's exactly right.
You know, there is a whole lot of money to be made in searching for the solution.
Yeah.
We have found the solution.
Yeah. You have found the solution for this portion of the population desperately in need of your care. And so what we're hypothesizing here is there's somebody out there that's saying, hey, man, they're taking away the search. They're removing the dollars of the search by hitting the finding the solution so quickly.
Well, you know, I think anytime you find a, you know, it doesn't seem to me like what we're doing is revolutionary or it's even all that unique. It's what we did. And we're just kind of bringing it to market, so to speak, in a way that, you know, kind of everybody can do it. And, you know, when you've got a system that's kind of ingrained and it's been that way for years and years, it's really difficult to disrupt a system, even if it's failing.
Yeah.
You know, humans just kind of like the status quo.
You can hear the music. We're coming up to break. This is typically when we end the show. I would like to ask your permission to stick around and let me ask you some questions that are going to be off the show on the podcast form only. And what I really want to hear is a story that you'd be willing to share. Somebody who's, we'll keep them anonymous, but a story of somebody who started where we're talking about and ended in a place surprising.
Love to.
All right. When we come back from break, folks, we're going to have segment 5. But if you want to hear this conversation, go to whatsworkingcam.com where you'll find this podcast. You can find all Vets Recover contact information in the podcast notes. We'll be back with segment 5 and more on the podcast.
I'm Joey Mason. For 4 years, my goal has been to produce the best farm-to-table products I'd ever eaten. I've done just that at our on-site USDA facility in Grand Bay, Alabama, allowing us to ship directly to your door. This is true farm-to-table. Visit us at masonhillsfarm.com to see all that we have to offer.
This is the final segment of every show where I kind of discuss a little bit about what we heard and what stood out in that conversation. And first thing I want to do is put this phone number out there. If there's anybody that feels like they could benefit from the services of Vets Recover, the services offered are not unique to where we are here. They will take a call from anywhere in the country at any time of day, 24 hours a day, where the phone is manned by a veteran with experience that will know what they're talking about. And that phone number is 251-405-3677. Again, 251-405-3677. This phone number will be in the podcast notes of the show. Go to whatsworkingcam.com, where you will find John's contact information as well as the phone number to the Vets Recover. If you need to make that phone call or if someone you know, if you can convince someone you know that needs to make that phone call to actually make that call. So very important there. John has done some remarkable things. He is, as so many modest people are, reluctant to boast on himself, but has created something here that is truly in need in many places. And I think the point was effectively made that the challenges faced by veterans are, number one, things that you and I cannot relate to if we are not a veteran. And try as hard as we might, we simply don't have the credibility that we need to in order to do so. We can help, but we cannot relate. It takes something more than what I have as a non-veteran to relate. And number two, there is a solution out there. For those of you that think you're the only one, if I am talking to you, apparently you're not. I know you're not. And if you want to prove that to yourself, make that phone call. You'll find, John and I have recorded now the podcast extension of this show, and the story is quite remarkable, and it's something that I hope you'll listen to and try to relate to. That you can find that again at whatsworkingcam.com. Just accelerate through the podcast towards the end, and you'll hear us pick up on that. It's a little bit less formal, certainly not bawdy or anything, but a little less formal than this show. Want to get into next this odd thing we're doing here in a few weeks, and that is the book report, the book review. The book title is The Author Versus the Editor Dilemma, The Leadership Secret to Unlocking Your Team, Your Time and Your Talent, and Your Impact. It's Brandon Smith is the author, and there are going to be four of us, including the author, Brandon Smith, discussing the efficacy of this book. When I learned about the executives that I know, or many that I don't, some that I don't, that are keeping this book on their desk because of its efficacy, I thought, well, heck, that sounds like a What's Working show. Let's get together. I'll read it. You, listener, read it and join us in this conversation about the book. If you have a question of the author, email me, cam@cammarston.com. We'll make sure to include your question when we review this book on the show here in mid-June-ish. Go ahead and order that book on Amazon and let's chat about it. You can find What's Working all over social media as best as we possibly can. It's an evil space, is social media, but you can find it out there, and we'll be where we highlight shows and things like that. That should wrap us up for this week. Have a good week, everybody. If you're sticking around for the podcast version, it will begin very shortly. All right, we're back, folks. This is the podcast version. It means you found the podcast of the show if you haven't listened to it already. John is going to tell us, and by the way, we don't have FCC control looking over us here, allows us to be a little bit more candid. The story of somebody, I think these firsthand experiences of the people, John, that you help are probably the more compelling part of this. If you can tell us a story about somebody, where they started and where they are today, I think it'll help people get a full understanding of what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's literally thousands of them. There's not a week that goes by that one of two things doesn't happen. One, I hear from someone whose life we saved, and I get, kind of a playback and of what we did for them, where they were, kind of what happened. And
you're not speaking metaphorically.
No, I'm talking very specifically. Or I get a call from people you know, friends of yours, who have a brother, a cousin, a friend who is literally on the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
And by on the ledge, that's kind of metaphorically. We don't typically jump off buildings down here, but they've got a gun in their mouth.
Ugh. Yeah.
Just yesterday, I got that call. What we're dealing with is life or death. And oftentimes we get that call that is the last resort call. Somebody found us. Somebody heard about us. Somebody said, call these people. Or somebody calls us and says, so-and-so is on the ledge. So there's literally been thousands of those over the last 7 years or so.
I think an important point to make is you can call Vets Recover from anywhere. This is not a Mobile, Alabama only service. If you're that person or you know that person, your organization, John, will take that call regardless of where they're calling
24
from.
Hours a day, 7 days a week, a veteran peer will answer the phone. No matter who you are, where you are. Now, we've got some limits to providing clinical care outside the state of Alabama.
Right.
But we've got such a network nationwide that we can usually connect someone if they need a clinical resource. But if you just need a veteran to talk to, or you just want to talk to somebody who understands where you are, you can call us 24 hours a day. And a veteran in recovery will answer the phone.
Yeah.
Who's trained?
Is that the moment of vulnerability? Is that the moment of admitting weakness that most of these veterans have to come to in order to recover? Or is this, are you, when they're making that call, is the solution begun, or are they just buying time at that point?
Well, you asked me for a story. That's a great segue to a story.
Here we go.
So this fella, and you know, I don't mind using his name. You can go see his video on our YouTube page, and he can tell it a lot better than I. And it's his story to tell, but I can kind of recount what he said. So this guy was in Iraq, you know, doing combat, and he said, you know, I got home and I thought none of that followed me home. And it was almost 10 years later. And that's how trauma works. You know, it's not immediate. And it's really hard to predict how it's going to affect somebody. So, for instance, you and I could experience the exact same traumatic event. You could be completely devastated by it, and I could be completely unaffected. We could experience that same exact event tomorrow. I'm devastated. You're unaffected. Mm. We have not figured that out. And so this guy is back 10 years later, and this guy has gotten married. He's gone to law school. Like, he's living the dream, apparently. And he says he gets home one night and he's just shaken. Like, it hit him. Literally, he said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And he literally woke up that morning ready to kill himself.
Mm.
And instead, somebody had told him about us, and he came to us.
So a 12-hour period, he went from, quote unquote, perfectly fine to on the ledge.
Yes.
And he couldn't see it coming, unpredictable. He didn't know what it was.
He didn't. And thank God, he said, I drove past my office, and I drove straight to Vet Recover. I walked in the door and said, I need help.
Yeah.
And that's I was there that day. I remember. And that's exactly what happened. And I remember I was in the lobby that day, and I just remember, like, almost in unison, the three of us that were in the lobby said, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Come on in.
And could you see it on his face? Could you hear it in his voice?
And, you know, I don't know that he would testify to this, but I can tell you that seeing three veterans in the lobby of this little building on Spring Hill Avenue,
yeah,
and walking in there with enough courage to say, I need help, and seeing three grown-ass men, clearly veterans, say, you're in the right place. In other words, we got you. We love you. And just seeing the relief on his face is just priceless.
And he was 6 months down the road. He was accelerated into treatment at that point. I mean, he knew he was in the right place and he could let his guard down.
So he walked in the door completely defeated. And within 5 minutes, he knew that the solution to his problem was right there.
Wow. What's the number if someone's listening and wants to call? Is it this one on the card?
251-405-3677.
251-405-3677. Folks, I'll put this in the podcast notes. This is exactly the story I was hoping for, to give everybody a little context of what this could look like and sound like. I'll put the phone number again in the podcast notes, folks. If you know someone, or if you are that person, give them a call. John, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. That's all for this week's, folks. This special extended version of the podcast. Hope you'll join us again next week. As you likely know, this show originates as a radio show broadcast across the state of Alabama, and it continues to grow in both radio listeners and market. After it's formatted for radio, we then turn it into this podcast. Please share it with those you think would find it interesting and subscribe to the podcast on my YouTube page, where you can leave messages and your thoughts and your comments, and I'll certainly get back in touch. Finally, if you're a fan of the show, please offer a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can find my book called What Works on Amazon.com. In it, I highlight the top 10 ideas from the first 200 episodes of the show. Mind you, they're not the top 10 best episodes. They're the top 10 best ideas. Many times the same ideas are brought up again and again by different guests, and we dig into those ideas in such a way that they'll be easily applicable for your business. Simply go to Amazon and enter my name, and you'll find What Works as well as my other books. Chapter titles include How to Find a Niche, Innovation, Building Teams, and so forth. To learn more about the workshops and seminars I offer, go to cammarston.com. There you can view clips of my work, view workshop titles, view my reviews, case studies, customer lists. It's all there. If you'd like a free copy of one of the chapters of my book, enter your email address at the bottom of the homepage at cammarston.com. And from that site, you can email me directly. I always love to hear from you. You'll also find me on social media. Find Cam Marston on all the social media platforms, and you may need to enter the numeral one. There's one other Cam Marston out there, and that numeral one distinguishes me from him from time to time. So if you're unsure if it's me or not, enter that numeral one after my name, and it should do the trick. On a more personal and less professional side, I record weekly commentaries that air across Alabama on Alabama Public Radio twice each day on Fridays called Keeping It Real. They've won statewide and national awards. They're simple observations on the world as it goes on around me, and they're only a few minutes long. They're a passion. You can find them on the same podcast app you're using to listen into this. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on this podcast or the radio show, reach out. I've worked hard to cultivate a specific listener, and I can tell you all about them, and I have many different options for helping you reach them. Thanks again for listening. We'll have another episode available soon.